We continue to hear the stories of Jesus told by Luke's gospel. This morning we turn to the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus is attracting some followers who are, well, they're tax collectors and sinners, unsavory folk. And the Pharisees and the scribes have noticed. They've noticed that not only has Jesus attracted them, they're muttering that he has received them. He's acting like a host to them. And he's eating with them. See, it would have been fine if Jesus had sort of felt sorry for them and fed them. It's okay to take pity on people who are lesser. Sinful people need to eat. It's fine to feed them. But what's objectionable is that Jesus receives them at the same table he's eating at, and acts friendly to them. Jesus responds to the mutters with three lost and found parables. The lectionary only includes the third parable, the one we know as the parable of the prodigal son. When we read the prodigal son, we often tend to focus on which one of the two sons we might be. So this morning, instead, we read the first two parables, because when we consider all three together, we better understand what Jesus was saying. Which of you, asks Jesus, having 100 sheep, if he lost one, would not go and look for the one and leave the 99 there in the field? Now, it's important, if we're going to focus on Jesus and what he was saying, to understand what the Pharisees would have heard. First, the work of shepherding was considered unclean. The Pharisees never would have been caught tending sheep. Kenneth Bailey is a scholar in Middle Eastern New Testament, and he says that the Pharisees labeled someone a sinner if they were either immoral and didn't keep the law, or had a job of trades that were considered unclean. And shepherding was on the list of unclean trades. So when the Pharisees are murmuring that Jesus is receiving sinners, Jesus may well have been eating with some shepherds. And Jesus responds to the Pharisees and scribes, "Suppose you were a shepherd." They can't have appreciated that. Suppose you were a sinner like these guys. How insulting to compare a Pharisee to a shepherd. But he did. Second, we need to understand that the work of shepherding was done in community. Shepherds didn't go out alone. There was safety in numbers. Shepherds abided in the fields, watching over their flocks by night, together. And 100 sheep was a lot of sheep. Most people had like five or so. 100 sheep meant that the whole community's sheep were being tended together. And what shepherd, asks Jesus, would not go and look for the one sheep that was lost and leave the safety of the community of the other shepherds there with the 99? He's not saying that those 99 are left without anybody watching them. He's saying, what shepherd wouldn't go and leave his personal safety to go and find that one who was lost? And when he finds it, hoist it up on his shoulders and carry it home where the whole community gathers to rejoice, because this sheep belongs to all of us. We're thrilled to have this sheep back. The joy is not just the shepherd's joy, it's the community's joy. God is like that shepherd, says Jesus. Or, imagine you were a woman. Really, the Pharisees must have thought? First you compare us to a shepherd, and then you compare us to a woman? And you realize, says Jesus, that one of your coins was missing from your veil or from your necklace. Now see, in the first century, women were given something called the netanyah when they got married. And it was a gift from their father to them. And the reason that fathers gave this gift to their daughters is because they didn't stand to inherit anything when their father died. And so their father would give them this netanyah. And often it would include either a necklace or a veil that had 10 silver coins in it. If it was land, the wife would get the land, but her husband would get the harvest off of the land. But it also included this veil or this necklace. Now, when you realize that one of your coins from your wedding gift from your dad is gone, what is your reaction going to be? What's it going to be? Yeah, I see some faces like, where's that coin? I have to find that coin, right? Would you not light a lamp? Even though the oil costs money, would you not light a lamp and start looking for the coin right that second? Would you not sweep the house and sweep the house and sweep the house? Now, they had dirt floors, and they would put down like reeds, the stalks of wheat on the floor. Would you not start sweeping and looking for that needle in a haystack until you found it? Would you not get down on your hands and knees and search? What if you lost your wedding ring? You would search for it. And then when you found it, would you not be excited? Would you not tell your friends and your neighbors how devastated you had been, and then all rejoice together that you had found it? God is like that, says Jesus. Or imagine you had two sons. The younger one was ready for you to die already. He asked for his inheritance, a third of his father's property. Now, there were at the time ways that fathers could go ahead and legally give their sons what their inheritance was before the father died. But the circumstances when a father would do that would be either that the father was ill, and so he would go ahead and give his sons their inheritance, and he would live off of the produce of what they made when they farmed the land. Or the father was getting remarried and there was some concern that the line might not be kept, that the sons might not get their rightful inheritance given this new wife. And so the father would go ahead and give the sons their inheritance when he got remarried. But when that happened, again, the harvest from the land belonged to who? The father. So the son asks for his inheritance early. That's unheard of. That's incredibly humiliating for his father. And then he goes and he sells the land. Well, he just took his dad's livelihood. So he's twice humiliated his father. We know what happens. He squanders it all. He winds up feeding the nastiest of unclean animals, pigs, and wishing that he could get down there and eat with them in the trough. And he decides to go groveling to his father and beg to be one of the servants because his servants were better fed with food to spare. The father has already been humiliated by this younger son. But instead of brushing the dust from his sandals and going on with his life, the father spends his days watching the horizon. And one day he sees the figure of his son coming from far off, long before he ever gets to the village. And he runs to go and meet him, says Jesus. Now the Pharisees cannot imagine running, because the way a man moves reveals his dignity and his class in society. And landowners wore robes that were long, and they did not run. Running was undignified. The father ran. And when he got to his son, he called for the best robe. Most certainly, this was one of the father's robes. And he called for the signet ring. Now, the signet ring was the ring that affirmed the provenance of a document. So it showed that this child belonged to his father again. And he called for shoes. Only free people wore shoes. Servants didn't wear shoes. So the father wanted everybody in the village to know, as the son came up toward the village, that he was not coming as a servant. He was coming as a reconciled son. And he had the fatted calf killed, which means that the entire village was invited to the celebration, because they couldn't keep meat. They had to eat it quickly. And if you killed the fatted calf, that meant that everybody was coming from the whole village, so that the whole community would be reconciled. The drums were pounding, the music was playing. Jesus sets the scene for us, and today we might think that that means that the food has already been had, because usually we eat and then we dance, right? But they started playing the music and pounding the drums before the food was ready. Because as people came in from the fields, that let them know there was a party happening that night. It would announce to everyone that they were invited to come to the house. And so the elder son hears this and says, "What's Dad throwing a party?" And he will not come in. Why? It's the extravagance that's objectionable. Judaism and Christianity both have paths to repent, to reconcile, to be restored. We can understand letting the penitent return. But the return is to bread and water, not to a fatted calf. It's to sackcloth and ashes, not to a robe and a signet ring. It's not with the beating of drums to call the whole village together to celebrate. And again, the father abandons his dignity and runs out to plead with the son to join the party. And the elder son further humiliates his father by quarreling in public. You didn't do that. He doesn't address his father by his title. And he dons an attitude. I deserve a party more than he does, honey. I am dutiful. And even though I might have wanted to enjoy my life, I have been right here working for you. And the father doesn't take the bait. Now, as a parent, I can say I probably would have taken the bait. The father doesn't rebuke the older son. This homecoming is not about the younger son's worthiness to receive a party. It is about the father's joy in his return. God is like that, says Jesus. Each one of these parables is about God's joy in finding what was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. It was fitting to make merry and be glad, for this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. God is like a shepherd with one sheep lost out of 99. When we all, like sheep, had gone astray, the good shepherd left the community of the Holy Trinity and came to seek us and carry us home. God is like a woman with 9 out of 10 of the coins that her father gave her as a wedding gift. She will use whatever resources she has, her energy, her time, her oil. She will get down on her hands and knees and search until she has found the coin and returned it to the proper place. We are as precious to God as a father's gift to her daughter on her wedding day. God is like a father who has 2 sons and loves them both. Both sons are lost, and the father is humiliated by both of them and further sets aside his dignity to go out and run to both of them and generously invite them home. One accepted the invitation. Will the other? Stories of Jesus, tales by the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me. Amen.